Accession number 31466, Mr. Tom Stringer, Reel 3. Now, you're telling me about late August, early September. You're not quite sure when. They made an attack on where?
An Alum Halfa. They tried to go round, I think, round as Rommel always used to do, an outflank. But I think then Montgomery came there and he outwitted Rommel there because he let them come through and had all the tanks and guns trained on the area, and they were sort of outmanoeuvred there.
Now, what was your part in it? Oh, not your, but I mean, what were the essence?
We had very little to do with that. All we'd done was watch the Pandas trying to get through, but we were just holding a ridge. We weren't really involved in it. But it was the tanks mainly and the artillery that done the job there. Yeah.
Did you come under any fire during that? Or?
Oh, there was always aircraft and shelling.
So what next then?
So then that was the end of Alum Halfa, which I know a lot of people used to hate Montgomery and criticise him, but I always thought he was one of our best generals, Montgomery.
Why? Tell me a bit, because views of Montgomery vary a lot, I'm sure you know. Yeah. So why did you meet him? Because he used to come out quite a bit.
I never met him, but what he'd done, his results were good, because he never squandered lives. I know you've got to lose men if you're making an attack, but he never squandered them. He always, put much into an attack that he could without.
And was that what you thought at the time? Not just from seeing the telly since, but what you thought at the time? You thought a lot of him at the time.
And I always thought he was good when we went to Italy, and of course. When he got to it, I know this is going a bit advanced.
We'll leave that. Yeah. So what happened after Alum Halfa then, after the German failed attack?
We're back to static warfare again then. The Lao was still on then. So they gave up because they got slaughtered at Alum Halfa, their tanks. And but then. The Churchill wanted Montgomery to make an attack in September, and he wasn't ready. He didn't have the enough tanks, guns, or anything in position. So he said, no, he said, if you want it done in September, get somebody else to do the job. So, but the attack went in October the 23rd, as you know.
Now, what do you remember? That's the Battle of El Alamein. What do you remember of that?
Well, I just remember on the first night, it's around 10 o'clock, we were in reserve, all 36. So the Indian 5th, because I was under the 4th Indian Division then, and we were under the 5th Indian Brigade.
Had you always been with them, the first 4th?
Oh, yeah.
So it's the 5th Brigade, 5th Indian Brigade.
5th Indian, yeah. We were all under the 4th Indian Division, the 5th Indian Brigade. But as you know, it's 3 brigades to a division,
and that was your formation. They were in reserve during the Battle of Alamein,
On the first night. But we had to get in trucks, and we would, if anything went wrong, we were ready to move in the shock troops, more or less. And we got on these. It was all quiet. This was about 20 to 10. It was all quiet. It was on these trucks. We were given sort of a bit of cotton wool plugs for the ears. We got on these trucks, and about 20 to 10, the old lot opened up, the barrage opened up. And it was I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it was a terrific barrage all at the same time. And even with these earplugs on, the noise, God, it's terrific.
It really was that loud.
Was loud, yeah. God, it's terrific. And I've never known, in all the other places afterwards, I've never known a barrage on that scale. But being desert, it's more,
open.
more open.
You could see more. Could you see of the barrage? I mean, was it impressive visually?
Oh, yes.
I understand the noise, but
see the lights flashing all the time, the guns flashing, and you think, all right, if anybody's at the end of that, they're going to be in trouble. But, you see the sort of flash, you know, where the artillery had fired over. You see from fires created the other side as well, although it's, you know, a couple of miles away. So that was a terrific barrage. And then after that, we went on to a ridge against counterattack. What was this ridge? Materia Ridge, it was called. MITERIA, I think it was. Materia Ridge.
So you were taking up positions, a defensive position.
Defensive, yeah, because it was against a counterattack. And they did try to counterattack there to cut off the main assault. But we held on to the...
What do you remember of the German counterattack?
I remember this Schmauser outgunning, as I told you, the Bren.
Now tell us about that in a bit more detail. Now we're at that point.
Yeah.
That's on the Materia Ridge. So what made you think that? Were you firing a Bren gun at the time, or did you just?
No, I was with the because I was still a runner then. I was with the sergeant major. He had the Bren, and I was number two with him. The chap called Wiggs.
Was it the Schmeiser or the German light machine gun? Schmeiser's the submachine gun, isn't it?
Yes.
They were still better than the Bren.
Still better than the Bren, yeah.
Now why?
Well, it was faster. It was, you know, two or three rounds went with one round Bren. It was faster gun. The Bren was accurate, but I think we was outgunned there, really.
And what was the fighting like? What do you remember of the fighting?
Well, I remember them putting shells over the advance, and then we saw them approaching, and then they stopped, and I think they turned back because there was the other companies as well were firing, so that I think put them off. They realised they were just walking into fire if they carried on.
Did you open fire, or were you running? Doing your duties as runner, sorry.
No, I was with the Sergeant Major.
You were with him.
I was number two on the Bren.
You were acting as number two.
Two on the Bren, yeah.
So what did the number two do? Take me through the job.
You load up, as he finishes, you put the magazine in the top of the Bren each time for the...
So you load it for him?
Yeah,
And could you see what was his fire having effect on it?
Oh yeah, I mean, don't forget the other companies as well firing. It made a more or less enveloped fire all round. It was hopeless to try and get through. So I think they gave up on that.
And so what happened next?
Then I think it was there for a couple of nights. It was a sort of nasty position to be in, this Materia Ridge, because he was under fire during the day as well.
What type of fire?
Artillery fire, mortar fire.
What was it like being under? We haven't talked about that, being under artillery and mortar fire. Because people don't understand.
No. You get used to, if you think it's coming near, you just lay flat, put your head in the as low as you can, hoping it won't hit you.
Did he suffer many casualties from it?
I don't think we got many casualties on Materia Ridge, no.
You dug in, I should have asked. Had you dug your slit?
Yeah, we took our positions from the Germans as they retreated. So we took over their positions, which was well dug in.
So you just used them?
Yeah.
So what happened next?
Then after Materia Ridge, every couple of nights, then we... who took over from us? I think it was the Highland Division took over from us, and then we withdrew, and we went, got on the trucks, and then we for so many miles, and then we had to walk. I think we had to march about 6 miles to get to the front again, the other part, the central sector, and then we had to make a night attack on the Alamein positions. This was must have been about November the 2nd, November the 2nd, 1942. This was so many days after the 23rd of October, so it was a night attack, and we had to go through the German positions, and it was under artillery fire, a barrage, and we moved right almost level with the barrage at times. In fact, at times we had to stop to let the barrage
were you close enough to suffer casualties from your own guns, or just
that was a danger, more from my own that's why we had to stop now and again to let the artillery the artillery were marvellous, because the barrage, we just moved behind the barrage, and they just surrendered as we came through, because I don't blame them, because being under that barrage was one thing, and then meeting infantry with bayonets, so I don't blame them.
So there wasn't much risk. Had they been firing before that, or did they?
Oh, before, yeah.
What was it like? How much? Many casualties?
We got some, but they were light compared to what they must have had. But then we got through, and then dawn came, and we see them escaping from, the trucks and that. I think the Germans took most of the transport. There was left the Italians there, because the Italians were helping them at the time. So that was the end of the Battle of Alamein.
Did you get a lot of prisoners?
Lots of prisoners, yeah.
The Italians mainly, were they? Oh.
Italians and Germans mixed, yeah.
So how did they? How did you treat them? How did they react as well?
I think they were glad to be taken prisoner. Yeah. Especially the Italians.
What about the Germans? How did they react?
I don't think they were so happy as the Italians, but I think they were more or less glad their part was over, because they were under intense fire for about 12 days.
Were they well treated, do you think, the POWs?
I think they were, yeah. I think there was a respect on both sides, yeah.
So this was, you'd been in action quite substantially in that. Although you were reserve troops, you'd been used, in
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's, reserve was only the first day of the Alamein. Yeah,
Then they'd used you. Yeah. So what happened next then?
And then, that was, we never had, the 4th Indian never had enough transport to take part in the chase.
What was the problem with transport?
They used what transport they had. They had to give up to other units who were doing in the chase, because the tanks were also mainly involved in the chase, because they came through as the tanks as we finished with their infantry. But for us, that was the end of the fighting side until later we came to the Marathon Line.
So, which is quite a bit later. It's
later, yeah.
It's in March, isn't it? Or,
That was 42, October, November, December.
So what were you doing in that period?
Taking it easy, really.
Were you following up, but slowly?
No, we were held back.
So where were you staying? Where did you stay?
I know we went to a place called El Adam, which is not far from Tobruk.
That's the old airfield.
Yeah.
And what were you doing there?
Nothing. I don't think there was any training going. We were just more or less lazing around, really.
Did you see much of the Indian troops? I mean, I know you're a British battalion, but presumably the other battalions in the brigade were Indian, and normally it's one and three.
Yeah, you get one white battalion to an Indian brigade. So in an Indian division, you've got three white battalions. It's the Essex, the Royal Sussex was another one in the brigade, and I think it was the who's the other one? I think it was a Scottish battalion was the other one.
So how did you see much of, and how did you get on with Indian troops then?
Very well. Yeah.
Did you see much of them then?
Yes. They were very good. We had the Gurkhas and Rajputanas in our brigade, and they were good.
In what way?
Well, they were good soldiers. They were all friendly.
To you?
Yeah.
And you liked them back?
Yeah.
You thought they were good?
Yeah, especially the Gurkhas. And I always liked meeting the Gurkhas. They always looked friendly. All small chaps, but they're all friendly. And they were marvellous soldiers, huh?
What was so good about them? Because everyone says they're marvellous soldiers. But what was so good about them, do you think?
Well, they'd always take a position. If it was had to take a position, they'd take it. The Gurkhas would take it. But I think they were dreaded by the enemy, really, the Gurkhas, because they got the old cookeries as well.
So you were at El Adam for a bit? Anything going on there?
El Adam,
just waiting, aren't you?
Just waiting, yeah. And then the first, after that, the only thing I can remember was the Marath Line.
The Battle of Marath.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, the Marath, I don't know if you know, Marath was the left hook. Montgomery, as you call the left hook, but
were you in that rather than the attack on the line?
No, we were with the 50th Northumbrian Division at Marath. They were going to make an attack, and we were behind the 50th Northumbrian. We went on at night behind them, and there was a lot of artillery fire coming. Then we were told that they couldn't get through the Northumbrian because of this anti-tank ditch. So they stopped the attack there, and then they decided that the only way was go around. So we went on a patrol round the left of the Marath Line, and the New Zealanders went further up. So they more or less cut
off. When you say patrol, a division isn't a patrol. You mean
no,
the whole?
No, this was just a platoon patrol that went through. Round the back of the Marath Line.
Now tell me, were you on that?
Yeah.
So was it 10 platoon?
I was a runner on that platoon, yeah. 10 platoon, yeah.
Now, tell me about that what you remember of that.
Well, I remember this track, and on it, every time we came, we saw a pile of stones, and what had happened, somebody, I don't know if it's the Arab sort of with their camels coming through, and saw the Germans putting these mines down. It's a personal mine, S mine, and they put stones around them. So we knew where all the mines were on this track. So we left it to the engineers to take them out, because we couldn't stop taking mines out. We weren't trained to take mines out. So and then we went on, met up with the New Zealanders who had gone widely round the other line. And
any resistance? Any fighting during this? Or
no, we just saw Germans at a water point as we were going on this track. But when they see us coming, they all disappeared. Well, they might not have been an infantry unit. They might have just gone for the water. There's a water point there. But that's all we saw of the Germans there. So, but then we went on to this the main track where we met the New Zealand, and then there was a place called Tujain, which one of our companies took this place called Tujain.
Do you know how you spell it?
I think it's Toujane.
They'll be able to find it from there.
Yeah.
So what happened at Tujain? Did you go there?
Yeah, one of our companies took Tujain.
Earlier or later?
Yeah, as we met the New Zealanders and they took this village, Tujain. That was the end of the marathon. Because it was outflanked, they had to withdraw Germans.
So what happened next?
That was us for an issue of time. Now, the next line was the Wadi Akarit.
That's another battle, isn't it?
That's another battle, yeah. That was an important place because it was opened up the Gabies Gap.
So that was the situation. What's going on?
Wadi Akarit was a bit awkward because there was these heights, mountainous heights, one side, which they were dug in there. We had to advance across open ground to take the heights there. And we had the Gurkhas were on the hill overlooking this. And then we went in to the mountain side, and I think it was the 51st Highland Division further up that also took part. So that they overcame that and took the Wadi Akarit in the end, and that made the way open for the Gabies to pour troops round to Gabies.
So you weren't actually involved in that battle, but it was important.
We were involved with Wadi Akarit.
All right, what happened then? You haven't told you.
We had to advance across fire, across open land, to take the mount, whatever it was, the other side of the mountain, this side. So they were entrenched in there, but we advanced over open ground to take that.
What do you remember of that?
I remember seeing one of the officers' jeeps hit. I think there were several casualties there because they were firing mortar bombs as well, and they were firing it from under the other side of the mountains there. Well, weren't mountains really, they were just hills, I suppose.
Well, what happened to you? What do you remember of it?
I just remember firing, dodging these mortar bombs. Some of them came over which never exploded. We just saw the clump in the sand there. But I was glad that over, because that could have been a bit nasty, Wadi Akarit. But I think there is somebody wrote a book about Wadi Akarit, because it's never mentioned. I never heard anybody mention Wadi Akarit, but it was a nasty do, really.
So for you, it was as big as Marath, which is quite well known.
To us, it was harder than Marath, because with Marath, we went round the side, outflanking, so we were under a fire at Wadi Akarit.
Now, what happened next then?
Then I think that opened the road to for Cape Bon. That was more or less where the clearance of the Germans from Africa then, because we went from the 8th Army side to the American and British side that were coming from that, and from Oran. They'd attacked from Oran.
First Army, was it First Army?
First Army, yes, you're right, First Army.
Now, when you moved like that, how did you move? Had you got transport now?
Transport, yeah.
So how did you travel? In convoys?
Convoys, yeah. And we went to... The last effort was made. What was that place? on the Cape Bon. The main, I can't remember the name of the
I
main.
I can't place it either, no. And I should know just as well as you.
No, the main place is important. No, I can't remember.
Well, tell us what happened there, and we'll try and piece together what it was. It'll come to one of us.
Well, we made this attack, the 4th Indian. I think there's two brigades went in there, and they took this place, and the Americans that come from the other side, so they were more or less surrounded, and that's when the thousands of prisoners came in, and a lot of them escaped across to Sicily. So that there's the end in Africa.
And did your battalion join in that attack, or was it the other two brigades?
No, our battalion. I think we were one brigade short at that time. So there was two brigades. I think it was the 5th brigade. I think it was the 11th brigade, but I'd have to check on that. Yeah.
Well, we'll look up the town. I'll put it in the catalogue.
Medjez El Bab.
Oh.
Medjez El Bab, that's it.
I don't know how to spell it, but I'm sure we'll...
Yeah, Medjez El Bab. Yeah.
We'll look up.
Yeah.
And anything happened to you? What do you remember of that attack? Or was it not too bad for you?
It was a night attack, yeah. I think the Gurkhas went in first. And we went behind the Gurkhas, so I think we had very few casualties. Yeah, we done well there, off lightly.
So what happened when the campaign in Africa was over? I mean, how'd you all feel?
We were delighted because we went back to a place called Misurata on the North African coast.
Do you know how you spell it?
Misurata. Misurata. It's a marvellous place. The white sands, and we were 2 weeks rest there. We had a marvellous time there.
So what would rest be? What would you do in a rest period?
We don't do nothing. No training, and it just going in for a swim. That was a bit of a luxury, that was. Yeah. Yeah. So that was the end in Africa.
And how were you feeling in yourself? You were a bit of a veteran now.
I think we classed ourselves as veterans then, yeah, experience then.
Did you find you got more nervous as you've been in action, more or less nervous?
No, I think you expect trouble, and you know how to react as well. If you hear a boom of a gun, a certain division, you seem to know it's coming your way or it's not coming your way. It's funny. It's something that you get used to, you know, through experience, really.
So it doesn't get worse; it gets better, or no, not quite.
After time, you're glad to get away from it all, you know. I don't think any of the troops like to go in action.
Did some people lose the nerve, do you think?
I can't remember anybody. Any of our troops, no. I can't remember anybody.